Today, we will read Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 35. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, as we read your word today, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to see you in a clear way. Help us to understand more about who you are. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Help us to see you clearly and to understand what it is that you're saying and how it affects us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 24, verses 1 through 35. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again?" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said. But they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on, as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true! The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. All right. In today's reading, we see the resurrection of Jesus, that Jesus came back to life. Yes, he was crucified, and he did die. But that is not the end of the story. That's only the beginning. He came back to life to prove who he was and that what he had done for us had been accepted by God. And so we see on the first day of the week, he had been dead, and they are coming to prepare his body for the final burial and do things that they had not had time to do right after he had died. And so they come with spices to prepare him, and they find a stone has been rolled away from the tomb. Now, in other Gospels, we see that the stone had been put there and sealed, and that there were guards there for the purpose of guarding the body to make sure that his disciples did not steal the body and then claim he had risen when he hadn't. But he actually did rise from the dead. So they find the stone rolled away, and Jesus is gone. And they're shocked. Where is he? What happened? We were coming to prepare him for his final burial. They had forgotten all that he had said. He had said again and again that he was going to die and rise again on the third day. But they hadn't remembered it. And so the angels appear, saying, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. He told you he was going to die and come back to life, and that's what he did." And they remembered his words, and they ran back to the other followers of Jesus and told them about what they had seen. Peter goes and finds it just as the woman had said, and he's trying to figure out what has happened. We hear this interesting story about these two followers of Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And we learn more about what's going on, that they still don't know what's going on. They still don't know that he is alive. They haven't really believed these women. They're still confused. And so as they're walking along, they're talking. And Jesus comes up to them. And for some reason, he keeps them from recognizing him. And as they're walking, he asks them what's going on, what are they talking about? And they're shocked. They're like, "Haven't you heard? Jesus died." And they talk about how they had expected him to be the Messiah, to redeem Israel, to save and rescue Israel. They still don't get who the Messiah was, why he was promised, and what he was supposed to do. I think they are still looking for a political leader, someone who is going to rescue them in a political sense. But that was not why Jesus came. Jesus came to rescue them from their sins. And so he says, haven't you listened? Didn't you know? Didn't you understand all that the prophets said? And so he goes back and he teaches them from the Old Testament all about what has been promised about him and how he, Jesus, fulfilled all of those things. And they're shocked. They had never really made the connections the way that they should have. And suddenly, as he is breaking bread and eating with them, they recognize him. But then, he disappears. Somehow, as a resurrected body, when he has come back to life, Jesus is different. And they don't recognize him at first, but when they do, he's able to just disappear. I don't fully understand that, I'll be honest. But, again, I believe that Jesus is God. And so, I should not expect him to be limited by what I understand. So, these two run back and they tell everyone else, "He's alive! We saw him! He talked to us!" And it sounds like, when they got there, that the others were already together talking, and then apparently Simon had already also seen him, because they say Simon saw him. And so we see them beginning to get excited about he is really alive again. Now, the Bible teaches that he was actually seen by around 500 people on different occasions over a period of about 40 days. This, to me, is enough evidence that he really did come back to life. Besides just my faith and belief in the Bible, they saw him. Over 500 people verified it. It really happened. He came back to life. Now, what does all of this mean? First, as we see in the lives of the people in this chapter, it means that we have hope. We serve and live and follow not a dead prophet, but a living God. He is alive. And because he is alive, we have hope. His coming back to life helps us understand that God has accepted the sacrifice in our place. And now Jesus is alive, and he serves as our high priest. He serves as our mediator, the one through whom we can go to have access to God. We can come before God and pray. We can come before God and have our sins forgiven because of Jesus. Not a dead man, but a living man. The living God. That through him, I have hope that my sins can be forgiven. I have hope that there is life after death. When I die, it does not all just end. I have hope that there is more to this world than what I see and experience here while I am on this earth. There is so much more. And I see that through Jesus coming back to life. In this chapter, I also see the importance of understanding the Old Testament. Before Jesus came, God had been teaching and explaining and revealing himself to the people for thousands of years. He had given many prophecies, and many of them point to Jesus. Jesus is woven throughout the entire Old Testament. But they did not understand it at first, because they had not seen him yet. But we can go back and we can see Jesus in all of it. And so it's important to go back and understand the Old Testament and understand how these are all pictures of Jesus and what he does for us. But I think mostly it just reminds me to have faith that when God promises something, I should trust it and believe it's going to happen. For example, here, these people somehow did not understand that Jesus had told them he was going to die. They didn't listen. Jesus had told them he was going to come back to life. When he died, they should have remembered what he had said. They should have remembered all the times that he said he would die and come back to life. But they didn't. They were discouraged and they were afraid. I need to also remember the promises of God, that they do come true. And so when I am discouraged, when I am afraid, I need to have faith and trust and remember that God always keeps his promises. And I have hope in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you do keep your promises. I thank you that through you, we can be saved. Lord, I pray that you would help us to trust you and to see you and to understand who you are and what you have done and the hope that we have in you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.